Welcome to Chair Chat, an online web series hosted by me, Jamie Harrison, the chairman of the South Carolina Democratic Party. Our goal in this series is to begin to look at political leaders, activists, and people involved in politics in a three-dimensional manner. We will move past the political caricatures to get to know the individual. So now, let's chat. Who is Dr. Willie Wilson? Well, those of you who watch the gospel music show Sensation will know him as the host and creator of that show. Others might know him as a candidate for mayor of the city of Chicago. Today, he's a candidate for president of the United States. And since we've already interviewed the other Democratic candidates for president, we wanted to know him and make sure that you also got an opportunity to meet him as well. So let's find out. Who is Dr. Willie Wilson? Dr. Wilson, welcome to Chair Chat.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's so good to have you here. I've enjoyed meeting you and having you here in South Carolina. You know, when it comes to rags to riches stories, yours has to be one of the most compelling I've ever heard.
Thank you.
Give us a little insight into who Willie Wilson is. You came from Louisiana, right? You grew up there. So tell us how you went from Louisiana to Chicago.
Well, first, thank you for allowing me to be on your show. Appreciate that. Appreciate the hospitality. You know, South Carolina, Louisiana. Well,
we love to roll out the red carpet.
Southern hospitality. But listen, I'm from 11, sisters and brother. Mother and father are both deceased. In fact, I lost my mother about 2 months ago. And we pick cotton, we chop cotton. We made 20 cents per hour. I ran with my home at age 13.
Age 13?
Yeah, age 13.
And so at 13, what made you say, I want to leave home?
Well, you know, when we were 11 sisters and brother, and all we did was pick cotton and chop cotton, couldn't get to school but 2.5 months out of a year, I decided that let me try to leave here and get my parents, I call it out of slavery.
Yeah.
And so I ran away to a place called Delray Beach, Florida. And we got in there and stayed a little while. Left that, we had to...
Did you know anybody there in Florida?
No, actually 42 of us that left.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And pretty much 42 of us had gotten together and ran away.
Wow.
And we had a bus that picked us up. But it wasn't that bad down there because we made $1 per hour in Delray Beach, Florida, picking tomatoes and butter bean. And then we left from there and we came to Miami, washed dishes and things like that.
Yeah.
We had a tough time leaving the plantation in Florida because once we worked, they wouldn't pay us. They said, we can't pay you because you've been out here a couple of months and you have to pay for room and board. And we said, well, that ain't the game, all
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so we had to run away from there. They called the police on us and things of that nature. I wrote a book called What Shall I Do Next When I Don't Know Next What to Do?
Yeah.
And so we left that and came way to Miami, came back home, and found our way to Chicago.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's an amazing story. So in essence, you were an indentured servant while you were down in Florida. You basically modern day slavery and almost.
Well, it definitely is. And by the way, I'm not for sure whether it's too much better today, but just in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, we face an imprisonment, things of that nature, job unemployment rate, and things of that nature. That's a different way. Down south, we would call a name and we knew what it was.
Yeah.
Today, our kids, they got different kind of a way of talking and speaking it. You know, but we still got to take to overcome it. And we did from 20 cents per hour. We left that and worked at a few McDonald's, got fired
yeah.
at McDonald's.
And so you were working at McDonald's in Chicago
mm-hmm.
and you got fired.
Yeah.
But now you ended up owning a number of McDonald's franchises, right?
Right. We own 5 McDonald's. And after we had 5 McDonald's, after I got fired, I went to the founder of... McDonald Corporation, Ray Kroc,
mm-hmm.
and I asked him for McDonald's. Because I figured this way is that I can go there with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Worst, I can come back with the same thing I went with.
Yeah.
And we came back owning 5 franchises.
this sounds like magic to me. So you just went up to, did the owner of McDonald's know who you were? Did he know who you were or your background? How did he just, did you just go and say, yeah, can you give me a McDonald's franchise? And he gave you one?
Basically, that's accurate pretty much.
Wow.
We went to a shareholder meeting.
Yeah.
You know, after we had called and asked could we talk, and he didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
His secretary sent me there, and I went up there. And we shook hands like everybody else.
Yeah.
And he said, well, who are you? And he said, what can I do for you? So I told him my name is Willie Wilson, and I worked pretty much 10 years in the stores as a franchisee. And out of those 10 years, I might have taken 3 days off total.
Wow.
And he said, what can I do for you? And I said, I like to own my own McDonald's restaurant. And pretty much after that, he asked me some questions. And he pretty much gave me the McDonald's, you know, and that was pretty much that. And I worked for 25 years as an owner-operator.
Yeah, of the McDonald's. Did you have to pay anything for the McDonald's, or did
No. It was, I didn't have any money. So we pretty much gave us the opportunity. We had the experience. And one thing I've told Ray Kroc, I had my integrity.
Yeah.
And he understood that. But years later, I also understood that he hadn't originally, he was a dropout of high school as well.
Wow. So he heard your story and was moved by it.
Right.
That's amazing. That's an amazing story. So I know, Dr. Wilson, you are also a great philanthropist.
Yeah.
I know you believe in giving back as a way of serving the public. What type of philanthropy are you currently involved in right now?
Well, basically, I'm involved into giving dollars to the different churches throughout the United States and also international. We probably give away about $1 million to churches every year. My wife and I have money to the different churches around the country. We probably give away $300,000 or $400,000 to the people who's on the street and got a sign that for need money for food.
Yeah.
Or the people who... Maybe I'm in a high rise downtown somewhere, but maybe at the bottom there, we got people who sleep on the street, and we walk up and give those dollars to them. And we don't try to write that off because they don't have any, you know, a bank account or anything
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
But I remember from which I came. And so that stays on my mind, and so I continue to do this.
Now, you know, I have to ask you about Sensation.
Yeah.
It airs in South Carolina.
Yes.
And so how did that start? Where were the origins? And McDonald's and now a gospel show.
Yeah, well, what happened with that, I've always loved music.
Mm-hmm.
And if you love something, you got to figure that you can do it too. So I joined the choir at my church. And every time I would join the choir at my church, they were literally the choir director didn't want to hear me sing.
Yeah.
Now, I admit that I had some issues singing. All right?
Can you carry a note?
I couldn't carry a note. But I wanted to do it. And so one day I kept going up, and so I would send a note up to my pastor and say I wanted to sing this song, and he would call me up and allow me to sing.
Yeah.
But the choir director would get up some days and walk from his piano and wouldn't play. So I got discouraged because they wouldn't let me sing at church. And I said, you know what? One of these days, if I ever get enough money, I'm going to buy my own TV show and do it.
Wow.
And I got my TV show, started singing because they wouldn't let me sing in the choir.
I tell you, that's a motivation. And so now you're running for president of the United States.
Yeah.
Why are you running for the presidency?
Well, my only question when people ask me that, I always say, why not?
Yeah.
Right? And the why not is this. We need economic platform, economic development, education, public safety, you know, equal opportunities for all citizens of America, equal work, equal pay, and a national faith-based initiative program. I'm running for president because the thing that happened to the country today, you know, you don't just sit on the sideline and watch TV and complain. My mother said, get out there and get involved.
Mm-hmm.
So we get involved because of those reasons. The other thing is that I feel that the candidates here today that are running, is that all the issue that related to all of America does not reflect all of America, mm-hmm. meaning the poor, the disadvantaged, the minority, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think I bring that to the table, right? If you want to look at the American dream, mm-hmm. you're looking at them.
Yeah.
Right. I've been poor, picked cotton, chopped cotton, ran away from home, never left the community. You know, been into a married, divorced, married now, and you know, six kids, things of that nature. Had one kid in terms of public safety, got shot and killed.
Wow.
So I understand it, 20 years old.
Yeah.
So I've hit all those different points in life. And so if anybody is they say, America, who represent America, that's me.
If you were elected president of the United States, what are the top things that you would like to accomplish as president?
Well, fair, equal opportunity. I think I used in this case here the word parity
mm-hmm.
through government. For example, free education. If we can look at other countries in the world, like Cuba, China, free education, we can do it here. I believe that we also should forgive the student loan.
The student loan. And I can tell you, Dr. Wilson, somebody who graduated from law school with $160,000 worth of student loan debt, that'd be a nice thing to get.
So people ask, how would you pay for this?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a business person. You know, I own a company today about $55 to $60 million annual revenue in sales from 20 cents per hour.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to balance budget. It is an international business. Right.
Yeah.
So the America is a big business of people, of serving people. You got to balance the budget,
mm-hmm.
but you got to make sure everybody in America enjoy those who are wealthy and those who are less fortunate. Right. You got to make have a balance of life, because why not? The wealthy should support the poor, because they wouldn't be wealthy if the poor didn't support them. All right. So all these different things have to come into play. So the wars overseas. We spend over $1 billion a day in the wars overseas. And those wars have been fighting ever since the Bible days, Abraham in the Bible, back in Genesis, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Those religion wars, right? Cut that out. If you're going to spend $1 billion a day, take 10% of that. Let's use that for example.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in, you have free education, right? If you want to look at it further, last year, according to 60 Minutes, they sent 538 satellites in the sky at $1.7 billion. If you took 10% of that, you could have the free education, all right? You could forgive the debt. You could create jobs here in America, all right? So why not take those dollars and create in South Carolina or the Chicago or Illinois or Michigan, in the poorest area that we have in the country, build up those areas without spending dollars trying to build up Baghdad.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
No, Dr. Wilson, there's a candidate forum that took place a few weeks back, and you were not a part of it. If you were on that stage, what is one point that you would want the American people to get about you and your candidacy?
Well, I want to know to the American people that, look, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. I am one of them. I understand business. I understand human relationship, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I understand parity. I understand fairness. Listen, I'm not running to take to make money, right? In fact, I don't even know what the president pay. But whatever it pay, I would turn around and give it away to churches and nonprofit organizations. See, I believe this here that when I run for president of these United States, you must make sacrifice for self in order to get out there. You have to stay, pull out of everything. I don't want to make no more money over here. I don't want to show no favoritism. I want to work and do for the people.
Mm-hmm.
I made that decision after saying my prayers. I am religion, Baptist. I made the decision after consulting on my knees and said, I'm going to not try to want nothing for myself. The difference is this here. I don't owe anybody anything. I don't owe the Republican. I don't owe the Democrat. I owe we the people. That's the difference.
So, Dr. Wilson, I don't think anybody can argue with your credentials in terms of a businessman. You are definitely rags to riches. You have gone from nothing, and you have built an economic empire in your business. And the question that you will get in terms of running for president is that the president is also, in addition to being over the United States in domestic policy, mm-hmm. but you're also commander-in-chief of our armed forces and militaries. Mm-hmm. In terms of the role of commander-in-chief, how are you qualified to be in that position? Or and what are your views in terms of foreign policy? Because there's so much going on in the world these days. So give us a sense of what the Wilson doctrine would be.
Well, you know what? It like this. Look, I don't confess to know about foreign policy, but I confess about organizing. We put the right people in the right places, mm-hmm. right? The people who you have in office today have all kind of education and XYZ and XYZ. That doesn't make them expertise in foreign policy. In fact, I think it'd make them worse. You got to try somebody that ain't got the experience in foreign policy, all right? If you look at our country today, all these wars that we're going to, mm-hmm. I don't listen. I'm not that interested. We will protect America because that's the first thing as a president must do is protect our citizen, all right? Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is this here. We got wars at home and property. We got to take care of home first, mm-hmm. all right? We cannot police the whole world, all right? We can say today we don't have the money to do this and this and that, all right? Well, let's face it. When they come up with something overseas, they always come up with the money. We're bringing the people in from Syria now. I have no problem with certain things, but you got Syria right here in South Carolina, in Chicago, L.A., right in our own neighborhood. We can't even find enough money to take care of the school. What the heck going on, as Marvin Gaye say, all right? Mm-hmm. So these are issues I have. I focus on the war at home first. Mm-hmm. And then we can focus overseas after we done took care of home first.
So tell me, what's your path to victory? How does Dr. Willie Wilson get the Democratic nomination to become president?
So this is a campaign ran on my own here for the people, by the people. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be bought. I'm not for sale. I don't owe any lobbyists anything. There's no conflict. Mm-hmm. I'm not running to show favoritism. I'm not running to make money. You know, I owe nobody anything but the people. I'm not taking any money from the super PACs, things of that nature. I've used my own money since June 1, since we registered. I've used my own dollars to put in the race, but yet have been shut out by the Democratic Party 8 times from allowing me into the debate. You know? Mm-hmm. You look, 1965, 1960, I came up to the Jim Crow era. Well, I got to tell you something. Right now, I'm being treated like worse than Jim Crow. You know? I cannot get a phone call return back. I'm qualified. I'm over 35. And I'm a citizen of America, you know? And I cannot get on the stage. I've sent all the other candidates and said, look, can you guys fight for just equal opportunity? Can I have? None of them respond to me. I've been turned down 8 times. I went to Iowa 8 times. My table's there and booth. I paid my money. They wouldn't even set a table out there for me. I've been blocked in Minneapolis, Minnesota by the Democratic Party. They wouldn't even let me talk, you know? I'm coming everywhere I've come. But you know what? I look at it this way, and it's fair to say this too. Even though from Jim Crow days here in the South, that I've been turned down to a lot of white and things of that nature until today, same thing. But we've been turned down by African America, the National Urban League, NAACP, you know, from being on the debate, the National Baptist Convention of USA, turned down from speaking. I think today with white or black, doesn't matter what color you are, the issue now is human rights, because we can't win white against black against white. We can't win that way. It got to be about human right, mm-hmm. because I think the thing today that look at it today, most of our politicians, don't care what color you are, is bought off by money. You know, I'm not for sale. I've been paid for already from a spiritual standpoint of view. You know, these are values and different that every American wants to know. If we cannot get into the debate today and hear all American problems, what are we doing? You know, my kid, your kid, your granddaughters, your grandkid, What are we doing? We're telling them that if they got a dream to become president of the United States, a certain amount of people have to make that decision, but not America. That's wrong.
So say you get through this nomination, you get on the ballots, you get on the ballots here in South Carolina, you get on the ballots in some of the other early states, and people start voting, you get some votes. But in the end, say if you don't get the nomination, is there a candidate that you see so far that is running outside of yourself that you think that what they stand for, what they're fighting for, is something similar to where I am or of interest?
If you look at the Democratic Party and look at the ranks of minority, African American, et cetera, to the rank, it's not balanced. It does not reflect America yet within the rank. Now, thank God that you are the chairman of South Carolina. How many others is there? You know, we look for the African American vote, you know, but the party reflects something different. Right, the other candidate is running that in the race. They particularly the front runner of Hillary Clinton. I have some issues, and by understanding the rest of them, I have some issues. But I judge from what I read and what I know and what I see. I see conflicts. They've been into politics for the last 18 some odd years, ain't nothing changed. We cannot keep the old into it and keep going the same direction and expect for new things to happen.
Yeah.
One case in point. And I want to say this, too, because I it's one of the things that I'm deeply disturbed about, is that the prison system, the three strike that you out. Well, I feel that past President Clinton passed that law. I also feel that his wife, she campaigned for it. You know, so what do we get here? Three strike you out, our kid, particularly African American, go to prison for life. Misdemeanor, marijuana, had a misunderstanding at home or someplace, all right, in prison the rest of their life. But beside that is that they talk about reform, okay? The only thing to mean is reform, let those kids out of jail. On top of that, you have Hillary Clinton coming to the African-American community, asking for that vote, but still she accepting money from the privatized prison into her campaign. She has the answer for that. The next generation of African-Americans is completely washed out. More African-American females are in prison today than the male in prison. Last year, the prison system privatized jails, everything with 100 and some of them, made a total of over $6 billion profit.
Well, interesting question, just a follow-up on that. And you know, a lot of folks say, you know, during that time, the Clinton time, you know, there was high crime rates, and there were a lot of Democrats that voted for some of that legislation also that I think today regret that vote because now they can see the ramifications for it. You're from Chicago. Our current president of the United States is from Chicago. Mm-hmm. Have you had any interactions with him? Have you had any discussions with him about particularly some of these issues? Because he, and, you know, particularly early on in this administration when he had a Democratic House, a Democratic Senate, it seems like we could have made some of these modifications and changes. Mm-hmm. Have you had any conversations? Have you reached out? Do you know President Barack Obama personally? I know there's a lot of questions, but would love to get your insight there.
Well, you know what? When he was a lawyer, his partner, I know met him then. Mm-hmm. All right, I don't know him personally. I spoke to him. He campaigned against me for mayor in Chicago for Ron Emanuel. He was on Ron Emanuel's side.
Yeah, because Ron was his former chief of staff.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the thing that I have to say about this is that look, if you got an opportunity to do some good, and when you know something's wrong, you change it. You know. All of them, him, all of them, and a lot of the other politicians, everything. And what I call they just old snake and new skin. That's what I call it. Yeah. And we got to change.
Well, I tell you that this is some powerful words. Let me pivot a little bit. I think young people are going to be key in this next election. You and I have had conversations about, and you also. here in South Carolina working with a young man who's helping the Black Lives Matter issues here. And I know you're very sensitive about these issues as they impact young people, particularly young people of color. What is your message to them generally? I mean, you are a success story in terms of rags to riches, as I said earlier. But what's your message to them in this campaign, and what's your message to them as a businessman in terms of how they can really take control of their lives and provide for their family and their loved ones?
I had an answer this year. The best thing that we have going for ourselves today is get to the poll and encourage people to vote. This is the only sensible way to do it. Get to the poll and vote. Even if you don't like me, for example, vote for somebody, all right? Run their own slate, the young people. Run their own slate and for office. Get involved and vote their own people into office and begin to change things, you know? Make sure that whatever you do, if anybody possible could do it, that if they are financially able to do it, run to help other, not to help yourself, because that way you are helping yourself. You know, keep your principle, your moral issue, committed to Christ and committed to the people. Doesn't matter what color you are, who you are, where you come from, or who you think you are. Do that. Black Lives Matter. I believe in Black Lives Matter. Yeah. You know, why not? When you lock us up in jail, you know, when you shoot us down like you shoot in the back and things of that nature. Well, you can't just shoot it down and none of them have been convicted. Look at it this way. If it had been African-Americans shooting down white kids, well, country been uproar. You know? Those things are wrong. And none of the presidential candidates that is really doing anything about it, they may talk a little bit here and there, all right? I would raise that issue for fairness, equal opportunity for all. The good thing about that, as I see with Black Lives Matter, it's not only black, but white kids out there too, is seeing it. But we must vote and run for slate and change things. We must change our system in terms of fairness and the law enforcement. For example, as you become president of these United States, I will look at not only reform the prison system by letting all those kids out that ain't got no business being in the first place. I'm talking about misdemeanor, all right? But the people who are in police cars, the people who sitting on judge bench, I would investigate all of them and see if they got any hate crime in their background. Because if you sitting on a judge trip, you're in a police car, and if you're a member of the Ku Klux Klansman, you know, or any other hate group, white, black, or indifferent, you shouldn't be in those type of authority. Because if you're in a Ku Klux Klansman, you're going to stop and pull me aside. But you're a judge, you're going to sentence me. You know, Doesn't matter what color you are. I'm using that for an example. You got the ketone, black tone range, and all those are tripping things of that nature. So you shouldn't be involved in those situations because you are here to represent all America. That's what I would bring to the table. I would bring the issue out in front. Doesn't matter who it is. I would not show any favoritism only for the people itself. Those are the different values.
Well, Dr. Willie Wilson, I can tell you, you have brought up a lot of compelling issues, a lot of conversations. I think our audience is going to be very sparked to continue this discussion. And I want to wish you the best of luck on the campaign trail. And let me know when you're here in South Carolina so that we can let the voters know that you're here as well.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you doing this for me. And let me also give you a few words of encouragement. We appreciate you being the chairman of South Carolina.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm going to say this openly. You've been fair to me. All right? And I'll say this, too. Be fair to Christ and be fair to yourself and be fair to your kids. And the Lord will bless you for that. Don't give in on anything but the right principle.
Well, Dr. Willie Wilson, I told you this when we first met. You're an inspiration. Your story is a remarkable one, and I appreciate you being here in South Carolina.
Thank you.
I appreciate you being on Chair Chat.
Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Willie Wilson. And thank you, because you're always welcome on Chair Chat. on the next Chair Chats.
How do we and what can we do in order to call out that hypocrisy? What do we need? Are there tools that we don't currently have as state parties, or is there something that we need from our national party?
I think we've got to create some more "the hell you say" moments.